Grace to you and peace from the God of Israel, the rock of our salvation, from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. Amen. Last week, if you'll recall, we talked together for a while about racism. And we talked about God's love for all the peoples of the world. And I think this is most beautifully expressed in Revelation, when John saw a vision of those who were redeemed from mankind standing before the throne. I'd like to start there. In Revelation 7, verse 9, he says, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no man could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and to the Lamb.'" This is a vision, my friends, of the day of the Lord in heaven, our great royal coronation for Jesus and of ourselves, when we rejoice with all the tribes, every nation, every people, every skin color, every nation, every language on earth, praising God and praising the Lamb for our salvation. So we talked last week about God's love for all people. I'd like to talk this week with you about God's love also for one particular people, one particular race, one particular nation. And this is a people that I believe have suffered more down through the annals of human history than any other nation that has suffered from prejudice and hatred and those breathing murderous threats against them. This, of course, I'm speaking about the nation of Israel, that is the Jewish people, those who are, for the most part, descended from Abraham, according to the flesh. We know them as the Jews. And I'd like to talk with you about, first, what a distinct people that these are. And I'd like to talk about how we, since they live in our midst, how we as Christians ought to behave toward them, how we ought to hold them in our hearts, and what we ought to do for them, and also about the great blessings that we have shared, come to share in from them. Let's take a look, though, to start out. What's the origin of the Jewish people? If you look in Genesis chapter 15, it says that after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great." And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars if you're able to number them." Then he said to him, "Abraham, so shall your descendants be." And he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. And so when we talk about the races, the nations, the tribes, the peoples of the world, this, the Jews, are actually a race, a nation, and a people that God himself chose to set apart as distinct from all the other nations of the world, as the ones through whom he would bring great blessings to all the Gentiles, and to, indeed, everyone on the earth. And I think it's pretty amazing, really, to consider God's faithfulness. And if you will, just for a moment, this was written, what I just read right there, at least it took place in about 2000 B.C. Just think of the number of people and dictators who have tried to eradicate and exterminate the Jewish race from off the face of the planet, to wipe them off the map, if you will, from 4,000 years ago to this very day. We can begin with Pharaoh, who decided to drown all the Hebrew firstborn all the Hebrew males in the Nile River to feed them to the crocs, if you will. And then in the years since then, the attacks upon them, even down through after the church was growing. You know, in the early years of the church, the Jews were not so sure whether they should share the gospel with Gentiles because it belonged to the Jews. But then it wasn't many years later before the Gentiles, who made up most of the church, wondered whether they ought to share the gospel with the Jews because apparently God had rejected them. And in the church and in the world, there have been those, at least in the visible nominal church, who have persecuted this race down through the ages. And they've gone through terrible sufferings. Think about God's faithfulness to them to preserve them. In the midst of, in 1290, they were expelled by law out of Britain. All Jews leave. And then in 1492, they were expelled from Spain. In 1497, they were expelled from Portugal. Go find another place to live. In the 1500s, when Luther lived, in Spain was the Spanish Inquisition, which hunted them down like dogs and slew many of them after torture. And even Luther, to the great shame of every Lutheran church, although he began his life calling all people against culture to go and minister to the Jews and treat them kindly with Christian love, later in his life wrote some harsh words against him, which our denomination has officially rejected, as has the ELCA, the Wisconsin Synod, and most Lutheran bodies said, we distance ourselves from those terrible words of Luther, even inciting violence against them, according to the culture of his day. And then down through the ages, even now, you have Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, October 26, 2005, leader of Iran, has said in a speech that was about the world without Zionism, says that they should be wiped off the face of the map, according to one translation. And according to another, at least their regime should vanish from the pages of history. All these attempts, down for 4,000 years, to destroy, annihilate, and wipe them off the face of this planet. And yet here's a people with no homeland, scattered through the nations, with no common language, except occasionally Yiddish, under persecutions, labors, oppressions, and yet still preserved. And I think you should take heart today about God's faithfulness, because he promised Abraham in Genesis 15, your descendants will be as many as the stars of heaven for multitude. And if God made that promise then, we see them still here with us today, by the miraculous hand of God. And even now, though surrounded by the threats, the murderous threats of all the nations around them, they have a homeland established May 14th, 1948, the nation Israel. And so I want you to see, God has set these persons apart. And even though they have, for the most part, although not all, rejected the gospel, what's Paul say in Romans 11, verse 28? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved of God for the sake of their forefathers, for the gifts and the call of God are irrevocable. God gives a command, God gives a word, he can't take it back. And he said, I'm going to look over this nation and this tribe. And so may all the pharaohs, the Hitlers, the Holocausts, and all those come against the Jews with all their might, I can tell you with great confidence that the Jews, despite all these, will remain until the coming of our Lord, because God will preserve them. As Jesus said in Luke 13, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you, how often I would have gathered your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken, and I tell you, you'll not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let me ask you this, though. Are they going to see and say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord? Yes. He's promised it. And so if they're going to be here till then, they'll be here till our Lord returns. And so we might as well, as Christians, understand how we ought to regard them in our hearts, how we ought to behave toward them, and live with them. And the basic word is the same as for racism, which is love thy neighbor as thyself. And even especially, I think, for the Jewish people. Why? Now, I know we don't have too many Jews down here in this part of the coast, but we do have some. And if you're careful to have a keen eye, you'll meet them. And I've run into four, at least, that I've shared the gospel with over the days that I've been down here, one of which has come to the Lord. You know her as Deborah Collins. Right. How should we regard them? How should we respect and think on the Jews? Well, first of all, we should be thankful that we have come to share in the great blessings that have come to us through them. And first of all, I would mention the Scriptures. You know, if it weren't for the Jewish race, the Jewish nation, rebellious as they've been down through the ages at times, nevertheless, I wouldn't be holding this Bible in my hand were it not for them. Should we not then regard them with a special respect and honor as beloved of God? They've delivered to us the Scriptures. And in fact, the holy men of old, the faithful men of the Jews, Peter says, were moved by the Holy Spirit and spoke from God. And if I were to take this whole Bible right now and go through it, in fact, in my Bible, there are 1,086 pages. Do you know how many are written by a Gentile? Only 64. That would be Luke. Wrote Luke and Acts. The whole rest of this book was penned by a Jewish hand. So, should we regard them with a scorn and a despising as some Christians have done down through the ages? I say definitely not. Without their race, we would not have the light of Holy Scripture. And as Moses said in Deuteronomy 4, for what nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and ordinances so right as all this law which I set before you this day? From the Jews, you have inherited the light of God's word. Without them, you'd be utterly lost in the darkness. And coming up upon the fire of God's judgment, you'd be toast, basically, without their holy word, which has come through them. But not only so, we also have received from them the promised salvation, which was originally promised through the Jews and was especially for the Jews. And in John chapter 4, what do we read? Here Jesus meets a non-Jew, a Samaritan. And this woman at the well says to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers, in other words, the non-Jews, the Samaritans, worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. For you worship what you do not know, we worship what we know. You know, because they had the Scriptures. And then he says, for salvation is from the Jews. You know, Jesus makes a distinction here. He says, I understand your point, woman, but salvation comes from us. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we know because we have the Holy Word, and salvation is going to come from this race and from no other, so proclaims our Lord. But he also promises a day upon which it'll be neither in Jerusalem nor on this mountain, but in spirit, that the true believers will worship God. He promised a day when there'd be no more Jew and Gentile, but rather simply believers in Christ, all one and united in him. And so the Jews have given us the Scriptures. They've given us also the promised salvation that comes from them, that is. And then also we have from them the Savior. And what does it say? The woman continued saying, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will show us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Wow. Do you know that Jesus was born a Jew? Of course you know that. He was born of a Jewish mother, a Jewish father. And yes, my Lord today is the son of a Jewish carpenter. And so we should regard the Jews with a special keenness of love. We're to love all people, but keep a special eye upon them since God has kept a special eye upon them. And if we are the adopted children of God through faith in Christ, these who are the rightful children of God and yet who have turned aside from the Lord, should we not share the gospel then with them? Well, how do you share the gospel with a Jewish person when you meet him? Well, when I was in Massachusetts, I went on an evangelistic trip from Gordon-Conwell with a lady who was a really great evangelist, and she was very flighty, actually. She had this idea that the Spirit was going to lead her in every little vision that she appeared to her mind. She'd follow it if she thought it was of the Lord. Anyway, we're about to pull onto the highway. She takes the wrong turn. We go down a street, and while she's turning around to go back to the highway, she looks in her rear view and sees a man raking leaves. And she says, "How would you boys," because there are two of us in the back, "like to go rake leaves today?" "Well, okay." So we went over and asked if we could rake this man's leaves, and he was very suspicious. He was like, "What you up to, you know? Are you going to rob me or something?" Well, we just said, "No, we're just here as Christians to do kindness to you and rake your leaves." And we cleaned up his whole yard and simply gave him a gospel tract and left. We put our name on there because he asked for it. And we thought nothing of it. We went on. Well, did we get a call that night from the woman of the household who shared with us that she was a Jew, and she was so incredibly impressed by this. All of a sudden, we were welcomed by her back to her house, into the whole Jewish community in Massachusetts. Everywhere we met Jews through her, and all this because of an act of love done to them. And so you may think to yourself today, there aren't many Jews down here for me to share the gospel with. I say, you go out and start being kind to people, and you share with them your Christian love through actions, and you may just meet them. And when you meet them, you can be repaid with this kind of relationship. In fact, she was there when Naomi was born at the hospital. She came and visited us there and brought a stuffed animal for Naomi, and she has remained friends with us to this day. Although, when I shared the gospel, she did not believe it at the time. But this is what Luther said early on when, in his tract, "Jesus Christ Was Born a Jew," about how bad us Christians have been toward the Jews. Check this out. He certainly doesn't mince words, right? He says, "If I had been a Jew and had seen such dolts and blockheads govern and teach the Christian faith, I would sooner have become a hog than a Christian. They have dealt with the Jews as if they were dogs rather than human beings. They've done little else than deride them and seize their property. Yes, in fact, if the apostles, who also were Jews, had dealt with us Gentiles as we Gentiles deal with the Jews, there would have never been a Christian among the Gentiles." Amen? What your call is from God today is, love my people as I have loved them, and do not neglect to share the gospel with them. Do it by action, but also by your words, as I eventually shared it with Sandy, this Jew that we raked her leaves. They've got to hear the word. And I want to warn you today about something. Ever since World War II and the Holocaust, there has been a dangerous, aberrant theology that's entered into the church called dual covenant theology, which means Jesus for the Gentiles and Abraham and the Torah for the Jews. We'll be saved through faith in Christ. They'll be saved by simply being faithful Jews. And I tell you today, that is absolute hogwash. And it is taught by people like John Hagee, as I understand it, from Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas, with 19,000 active members. Seen him on the TV? Well, he has said it's a waste of time to speak to them. They won't believe it. It's all such evangelistic efforts are fruitless. And he basically says they'll be saved by their own Judaism, misreading several scriptures along the way. And when I shared a sermon once in Maine about how I touched this Jewish family, the ELCA pastor at the time I had wrote me later and said, "What are you doing saying that the Jews really need to hear about Jesus?" Because he believed they'll be saved by their faith and we'll be saved by our faith. And I say, don't let yourself be tricked into that kind of teaching today. For the Jews need Jesus just as much as we do. He is the Jewish Messiah. He is the fulfillment of the Jewish faith. And if you are questioning whether what I'm saying to you is the truth, just look at Jesus' words. John 5, he said to the Jews, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it's they that bear witness to me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." And he said in Luke 13, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He's not talking to Gentiles. He's talking to his Jewish brethren when he says that. And he said in John 18, I told you, Jews, and all people who hear me, you die in your sins, for you will die, unless you believe that I am he. And he said in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So just put it out of your heads today that you don't have any responsibility toward your Jewish brethren here on the Space Coast today. We as a congregation do. We're called both to Jews and to Gentiles, yes indeed, to all the people on the Space Coast. And I want this next year, as we're getting new officers this month, I want this to be a year of evangelism for you, where we can see converts, both from the Jews and from the Gentiles, here at this church and through this church's works. And ultimately, why? Because there's one gospel, there's one Savior, there's one Jewish faith of which we are now a part, believing in the fulfillment of it, that it is in Christ. One gospel. And as Paul says in another place, there are no longer Jews and Greeks. There's no longer slave or free, male or female. If you're baptized in Christ, you are all one in him. No more distinctions. God puts his blessings upon all who call upon him. And in fact, you are now, and get this, you are Israel. For what did Paul say in Romans chapter 9? He said, not everybody who's descended from Abraham is his descendant. And not everybody belongs to Israel who is descended from Israel. But rather, it's those who have faith in the same way that Abraham believed God. Those are the children of Abraham, and that's the true Israel. And that's why Paul says in Galatians 6, peace and mercy be upon all who walk by this rule. That is, that you're justified through faith in Christ. Peace and mercy be upon the Israel of God. I think that's kind of strange. You're a Gentile, and you're more Israel than the Jews that you're reaching. But don't boast over this. As Luther said in another place, we are in-laws, so to speak. We're adopted children. They're the Lord's very cousins, his very blood, his very brothers, according to their flesh. So if you've come to share in Christ, how much more should they share in Christ? Because they naturally belong to him, whereas we have been a wild olive tree grafted in to share the richness of God's cultivated olive tree. That is the family tree of God's people. And so I share today, evangelize the Jews. And I'm going to share with you in a moment how we can do that as a congregation. But understand, we have the fulfillment of the Jewish faith. Our roots in Christ are all Jewish. And we have, though, a superiority in every way in the new covenant. They follow the old temple. We now can enter into the very throne room of the temple in heaven through faith in Christ. They have looked to the land of Israel, to a patch of real estate in the Middle East. We look to the greater promised land of the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. They had a high priest in those ancient days who entered into the temple once a year with the blood of goats and bulls. We have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who's entered into heaven with his own blood to secure a perfect salvation for us. They looked to a righteous King David. We have the greater David, who's slain a greater Goliath, the devil, and who has delivered us from his clutches. They have a covenant of the law. We a covenant of grace. They had deliverance from Egypt. We from bondage to sin. They from Pharaoh, we from the devil. They through the Red Sea, we through baptism. They with manna in the wilderness, and we through Christ's very flesh and blood and the Lord's table. And so we have the superior Israel, the fulfillment of their promises, and so we ought to share these blessings with them because they ultimately belong to them first. The gospel being first to the Jews and then second to the Gentiles. So, as we conclude, how should we as a congregation do this? Well, I spoke with Reverend Parvitz, who's a Lutheran LCMS pastor and also a rabbi of a Messianic Jewish congregation in St. Louis. I talked with him on Friday, and he gave these specific instructions. He said, first of all, prayer. If you have a prayer book that you use to pray, put this in your prayers, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that is, the conversion of the Jews. Secondly, reach out with love in the same way that I did up in Massachusetts with Sandy. You know, you cannot get into a Jewish heart very easily because they've been taught from the time they were little toddlers, Jesus for the Gentiles. That is not to be touched by you. But you can get in there into their lives through love. Thirdly, join our nursing home team that we have here at Christ Lutheran. That's how I met a Jew and shared the gospel with her only 3 weeks ago or so and was able to witness Jesus is your Messiah. Will you come to him? Also, if you want to contribute financially, don't just give it to any Jewish messianic congregation. I would recommend Lutherans and Jewish Evangelism, which I can give you the addresses for those. And also, and lastly, support our resident Jew, who is Deborah Collins. She is now our evangelism team leader for this next year. Follow what she says, because this next year we're going after Jews and Gentiles, not to just draw them in for our own sake of satisfaction, but because we want to share the blessings of Christ with everybody here on the Space Coast. And as with Deborah, as with all Jews, and as Kevin Parvitz, the pastor, told me, it's hard. There's nothing harder in all the world than to convert a Jew. But I'll tell you, once that Jew is converted, my goodness, they're unstoppable. We've seen that in Deborah. We're going to see that here this year in Christ Lutheran. And so share with me in this heart for the Jewish people, this heart that God has for them. And may this be our prayer. Happy are you, O Jerusalem, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help, and the sword of your triumph. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.